It's Saturday, the 7th of November, 2015. Happy birthday to no one. And welcome to the Red Rock Fantasy Basketball Monster Podcast, brought to you by moneyball.com.au and Around the Fur. And Around the Fur is the sponsor for this podcast because they left a great review on iTunes. And if you want to join Moneyball and Around the Fur in becoming a sponsor just for a day of the podcast, all you need to do is leave me a review on iTunes. And thank you to everyone who has done that. Around the Fur had a fantastic review for the show, and I do appreciate it greatly when people do leave those reviews. And as you know, it helps the show grow immensely. So thank you to them, and thank you to Moneyball and everyone who played on Moneyball, which, if you don't know, is Australia's first and only daily fantasy sports site. Everyone who played today, I reckon there was a lot of Red Rock listeners that won a fair bit of money. And this will go for pretty much everyone who played daily fantasy today, no matter what site it was on. The scores were out of control. I scored, and Moneyball's scoring is the same as FanDuel, I scored 343 today. I lost a head-to-head. I came second in the Red Rock League with 343 points. I know that there was someone who beat me, had 350-something. There would have been some people cashing some pretty big money on some of the sites. Hopefully, if you listen to some of the guys that I was talking about yesterday, some of them panned out really, really well. So a lot of people would have been quite successful on Moneyball. And FanDuel and DraftKings and wherever. If you are in Australia and New Zealand, make sure you're checking out all the Red Rock contests that are up on Moneyball. There's none up for tomorrow yet. There will be. There'll be a $2 tournament. There'll be a $5 tournament. And there'll be a stack of head-to-heads against me as well, plus all the GPPs that are up on the website. Now, a couple of things. Follow me on Twitter at @RedRock_Beeble. I don't even know if I introduced myself. My name is Josh Lloyd. If you don't know that, you can see that on the screen if you're watching along live on YouTube, and that's something you can do. You can watch live on YouTube. You can chime in with questions that way. You can also watch the archive shows on YouTube, or listen, of course, in the podcast catcher of your choice. All right, there was 10 games on Friday, and a lot went down. So as Michael Bolton says,
let's get to it.
Thank you, Michael. The monstrous line of the night. Can't go any other way here. Well, you know what? I probably could have gone another way, but I'm not. I'm going to go with Anthony Davis, who tied a career high with 43 points. He hit a three. He had 10 rebounds, 3 assists, 4 steals, 3 blocks. He went 14 of 23 from the field. He went 14 of 16 from the free throw line. That is a superb performance. And yes, Anthony Davis had been struggling a little bit this season. There's no doubt about that. He had been. But he wasn't going to continue to struggle at that level. He's still averaging 25 and 10. He's averaging a 3 a game. He's at 2 assists, 3 blocks, 1.5 steals. The problem with Anthony Davis at the moment from his fantasy point of view is he's shooting 44% from the field. If that 44% went to 54%, we're talking about a guy who's averaging 30 points and 10 rebounds and 3 blocks and becoming awesome. He's still fantastic. What I'm trying to get at is, yes, there were some struggles. And this is the thing that happens at the start of the season. And I know I harp on it, and you're probably sick of me hearing don't panic at the start of the season. But if these 4 games for Anthony Davis before today happened in January, nobody would really care. They'd look at it and go, yeah, he's at 23 and 9. And he's got a bit of a shooting slump, but he's still getting 3 blocks. No one would care. At the start of the season, everyone, oh my God, the sky's falling. It's the end of the world. Anthony Davis, I regret taking him number one. You're not going to regret taking him number one. And this is something that I stressed a lot. Yeah, as well at the start of the season. You pick 1, 2, or 3, it doesn't win or lose your league. Harden's going to be great, and he started off slowly. He's been awesome the last couple of games. We know Steph Curry's out of his mind. Davis is going to be great. This is not where you're winning on you losing your league. If you had one of those picks, these guys are all going to be good. There's nothing to be concerned about there. And we're seeing that start to come. Look, Curry's going to have a couple of games where he's not as good. We won't necessarily be bad. But this is going to happen throughout the course of the season, so there's nothing really to panic about. And I'm sure that every Anthony Davis owner and everyone who rostered him on daily fantasy sites would have been really happy with the performance he put in, because it was superb. The waiver wire line of the night goes to Kelly Olynyk of the Boston Celtics. Olynyk played 27 minutes, and that's one of the key things here. 19 points. He hit 3 threes, 7 rebounds, 4 assists, 4 steals, 1 block. He went 7 of 11 from the field, and he went 2 of 3 from the free throw line. Now, I've stressed this, I don't know how many times I've talked about Kelly Olynyk. He is a very, very good fantasy player. Like, very, very good fantasy player. But he doesn't get the minutes. And this is what he can do. He hits threes, he scores, he grabs rebounds, he gives off assists, steals, blocks. All this stuff that he does is really good. But Brad Stevens is a nightmare for fantasy owners. I don't know what it means for Olynyk. I'm going to talk about this a little bit later with Jared Sullinger as well. I don't know what to make of this. Yes, he had 27 minutes here, but he's averaging 17 minutes on the season. And even in those minutes, he's putting up pretty good numbers. They're not bad numbers. They're not numbers where you have to race out and grab it, but they're numbers what places him inside the top 130 for the season at only 7.5 points. He's getting a three. He's getting almost 2 steals, a block. If his percentages need to come up as well, I don't think that it's a must-own situation for Kelly Olynyk. But if Brad Stevens, and again, I've been saying this for a while as well, their best front court players are Jared Sullinger, Kelly Olynyk, and Amir Johnson. And the best two fantasy assets there are Olynyk and Sullinger. And if they play 28 minutes a night, then they're must-own players. Sullinger's got top 75 upside. Olynyk's got top 50 upside if he played 30 minutes. And it is going to be hard for him to get to that. But that's the sort of ability that he has got. His per 36 numbers on the season look out of control. 16 points, 9.7 rebounds, 2 threes, 3 assists, 4 steals, 2 blocks. And all those numbers aren't sustainable. But he's putting up, the way that we've got him projected at Basketball Monster, if he was to put up those numbers, he's definitely a sort of a top 50, top 60 guy. It just depends on what Stevens does. Now, with Olynyk, are you rushing out and grabbing him? Yes, I am in a 14-team league. In a 12-team league, maybe not. If you've got a stream spot, maybe you add him and see what Stevens does over the next couple of games, whether he runs him at 25 to 27 minutes, because that's all he's going to need to at least provide 12-team league value. But it's not set in stone, and it's not dropping someone that's great to go and grab him. So do pay attention to that, because his fantasy potential is very, very high. I still think he's a really good player, and I still think he's been misused in Boston a lot of the time so far in his short career. And remember, this is only his third season. He hasn't been around for a long time. He could have a bit of a breakout this year. I'm hopeful. And what I am glad for in Boston is that we're seeing very little David Lee. We're seeing very little Tyler Zeller. And that's exactly how it should be. Those two are the worst two big men on that team, in my opinion. I'm big fans of Olynyk. I think Johnson provides a lot. Sullinger he's a decent player. I really like Jonas Jerebko. David Lee is cooked. And Tyler Zeller, he's just completely fallen out of favor there. And that's fine. I don't really think he's a good player. Some people were talking about how good he was last year, and he was good in stretches. I just don't think he's all that great of a player. The young gun of the night, which goes to the best first or second year player on the night, and I'm going with Nerlens Noel in Philadelphia, who had a huge game. And this is very typical of a Nerlens Noel game. He went 18 and 12. He had 5 steals. He had 2 blocks. He didn't hit a free throw. He didn't take a free throw, so he didn't hurt you there. 9 of 18 from the field. This is big for Nerlens Noel. This is exactly what we're hoping he can do. He's averaging 14 and 11 on the season, which is obviously an increase in last season. Jahlil Okafor apparently doesn't know how to rebound anymore, so Noel is grabbing all of the rebounds. He is at that magical 2 steals, 2 blocks a game number, which is something that he was a real threat to crack this season. He's currently doing it. He's currently shooting 60% from the free throw line, so he's not a punt free throw guy. He's not a good free throw guy because it's only on 3 attempts. But everything that Nerlens Noel is doing is really impressive at the moment. He's one of the most fun players in the league to watch. He's one of the highest ceiling guys to me in the league anyway. Of guys that I want to watch develop and see exactly how they play and how their career comes along. Because I really like what Nerlens Noel is doing so far this season. Pretty much exactly what we hoped he would do. The dud of the night goes to another second-year player, a guy who I was hoping for big things for this season, and we are not getting them. It is Lord Alfred Payton. He played 15 minutes tonight. He went scoreless, missed all 4 of his shots, had 2 rebounds and 2 assists. Not a good run of things for Lord Alfred at the moment. He is averaging only 7 points, still 3.7 rebounds, 5.8 assists, but only 0.8 steals. He's down shooting 32%, and the worrying thing is he seems to have lost the trust of Scott Skiles. Now, I'm not doing anything with Alfred Payton at this point in terms of dropping him. You can't trade him because he's at the lowest point in his value. The shooting percentage, he's a bad shooter, but he's not a 32% shooter. He closed out last year in the last month shooting 46% from the field. He's probably a 42 to 43, sort of 44 maybe guy from the field. So you expect this to jump at least 10%. His steal numbers should start to come back up. His scoring should get back to 10 or 11. He's a decent rebounder. He's just going to need to see time on the court. CJ Watson's not an NBA caliber starting point guard on a good team. Skiles is a frustrating fantasy coach, no doubt about that. But I'm not overly concerned about Alfred. I'm a little bit concerned the fact that he played so few minutes today. But it's not worrying me to the extreme where I need to go and drop him if I own him. Now, I do own him in two or three leagues, I think, and I'm not making any moves. And I've got a trade offer for him from Trent Copeland today, who was a guest on the podcast a few weeks ago, and I politely declined that one. I'm not looking to move him at the moment because there's just no value in moving him. You've just got to hold for the next couple of weeks. And if he's consistently getting 15 minutes a game in the next 2 weeks, then you cut bait and you move on. But at this point, with his upside, his top 50 upside, I don't think there's any reason for us to do that just yet anyway. Well, let's monitor it and see how it all pans out. All right, that's it for today's awards. Let's move into these games let's look at them in a little bit more detail. I'll bring it up on the screen for you guys watching along live or watching on YouTube after the fact. It's the box scores are up now. Let's get into these games. There are 10 games. So let's get into it. The Raptors and the Magic get their first, no sorry, not their first victory. They hand the Raptors their first loss. Big win for Orlando. Toronto would be a little bit disappointed not to get this one. They've started off the season pretty well. Not a great night for them in terms of shooting the ball. They did really struggle. DeMar DeRozan still chucked in 23 points, went to the line 12 times and went 8 for 12. Missed a key free throw late though. 7 rebounds, 2 blocks. He's still doing quite a lot this year, and he's one of the surprise packets of the season to me in terms of the peripheral numbers he's giving. Jonas Valanciunas, 23 minutes. A lot of that is because of the way that Orlando went as well. Orlando only had one center, and that was Dwayne Dedman, who played 30 minutes. And without that, that meant that the Magic were able to go a bit smaller so that Valanciunas, he could have got lost a little bit out there. He was still really good, and this is stock standard for Valanciunas. You give him low minutes, he's still going to put up numbers. I can't stand the way Dwayne Casey deals with him. I would just love to get Valanciunas out there for 34 minutes. 8 points, 14 rebounds, 2 blocks. There's going to be better days ahead for Valanciunas, but even on a night where he only gets 23 minutes, he still provides significant value. Corey Joseph with a big run, 29 minutes for 19 points and nothing else. He's a stream-in guy only in 12-team leagues. And Kyle Lowry, 17, 5, and 2 with 3 threes. Just a quick reminder that if you did pick up Luis Scola, he's not good. 7, 6, and 5 in 21 minutes. He did have that one double-double a couple of games ago, but there's nothing to get excited about there. And Damari Carroll, I'm going to talk about him a little bit later on, just 9 points with 2 assists. And I'll talk briefly about what I'm going to talk about later on. After we go through the game reviews, which we're doing first, and before we get into the game previews, I'm going to have a look, and I'm going to do this every week, is a look back at the season so far. So highlighting the top 20 players so far. And as we get into the season, what we do, if you remember from last season, is we look back at the last 2 weeks of action. Who are the top 20 players over the last 2 weeks? I do that. I look at the top rookies, the top sophomores. I also try and look at some guys who might be some buy low targets or some sell high targets in that time, and just go through the rankings and see what's sort of standing out. But Carroll's a guy that I'm going to touch on a little bit later. On to the Orlando Magic. Victor Oladipo, 18, 7, and 6. 2 steals and a 3. And it's good that he was able to put up such a big line in low minutes because he'd been playing some really big minutes before that. I really like Victor Oladipo. Not much more to say there. Toby Harris bounced back after a game where he was benched and played very few minutes. 20 and 9 with 2 threes. And this is something that I did warn about the other day, is that I think that Aaron Gordon got the minutes because Toby Harris was benched, not because Nick Vucevic was injured. And that was exactly what happened. Aaron Gordon played just 12 minutes, 5 points and 4 rebounds. He was not the guy that I looked to own with Vucevic out. It is Dwayne Dedman, the guy who's going to take those minutes. And Dedman played 30 minutes here, 10 and 4 with 3 blocks. Vucevic is out at least another game, so if you're looking for some rebounds and some blocks and some field goal percentage, Dedman can provide that. He's obviously not Vucevic, but he is going to get the minutes over Aaron Gordon. Gordon, at this point, it's pretty much impossible to own him in 12-team leagues because he's just not getting the minutes. Yes, he has potential, but it's just his role is just not there at the moment. Evan Fournier quietened off a little here, 11 points and not much else in 28 minutes. So his minutes dropped. And we see that Skiles, if a guy's not feeling it, Skiles will just, he'll just reduce their minutes. And, you know, Hezonja got 22 minutes. Shabazz Napier got 17 minutes and provided 6 assists in that time. It's a frustration of owning Magic guys. The safest guy here is obviously Oladipo and Vucevic when he comes back. And there's going to be fluctuations with a lot of the other players. And that's just going to be one of the perils of owning players on a Scott Skiles team. But we're going to get, you know, majority of the time, you're going to get big nights from Toby Harris. Alfred Payton will bounce back. Hopefully we see more of Evan Fournier, who's been a real surprise packet to start this season. But there's always going to be fluctuations in a Scott Skiles coached team. The next game, which was not the greatest of games, let's be fair, the Lakers and the Nets. D'Angelo Russell had his best game as a pro, scoring-wise anyway, 6 of 9 from the field for 16 points, 4 rebounds, 3 steals, 0 assists, only 23 minutes. You can't own him at the moment. He's not playing well. He's not getting minutes. Byron Scott's a dickhead. We know all this stuff. Byron Scott ran such a weird lineup to close out the game. He had Russell sitting on the bench. He had Nick Young in, Lou Williams. He needs to go. If he's not gone by Christmas, I'm not going to be impressed. But Russell, yes, he's got upside for assists, but you're going to have to sit through so many stinkers with him. And yes, 16 points on that sort of good shooting is great, but how good's he been to start the season? And the answer is not. He hasn't been good. And this all goes back to my talk on rookies. If you're going to draft rookies and put a lot of faith in them, you're going to have to carry him for 3 months. And that's what's happening with Russell at the moment. He's at 10 points, 2 assists, 0.8 steals, 1.5 threes, you know, 40% and 75% from the line. These are not good numbers. So it's very hard to carry. In a 10-team league, there's no way you can hold on to. There's no way you can hold on to D'Angelo Russell in a 10-team league. In a 12-team league, I would rather stream that spot. And, you know, over the first 2 months, if you stream that spot, you can end up getting, you might get an extra 5-6 category wins than rather than holding on to him and just have basically a zero in there. So that's my take on him. Jordan Clarkson's a bit safer, 33 minutes for him, 16, 2, and 3 with a couple of steals. And Julius Randle, 14 and 7 with a steal and a block. He's pretty much cemented himself as a must-own 12-team league guy. Speaking of Byron Scott and stupidity, Metal World Peace played 17 minutes for 3 points. He had a triple one, but the only reason we care about Metal World Peace is the fact that he's actually playing 17 minutes in a game, in an NBA game, in the year 2015. You can throw him on that team with Ronnie Price and Sasha Vujacic of guys who are thieving NBA checks, because there's no way he should be playing minutes like this. This left Ryan Kelly completely out of the rotation, which is, again, it's Byron Scott at his greatest, when Kelly was a guy who was getting 20 to 25 minutes at the start of the season. Brandon Bass played just 3 minutes. I like Larry Nance. I'd rather Larry Nance get the minutes. He played 16 minutes, 6 points and 5 rebounds. But what are you doing, Scott? You're not going to make the playoffs. Why is World Peace playing? I don't understand it. Roy Hibbert, 7 rebounds, 3 blocks. If that's why you own Roy Hibbert, that's fine. But to me, he's not a must-own 10-team league guy at the moment. I thought he might have somewhat of a resurgence. He hasn't. So I reckon you can get better value from him in other spots. And Kobe Bryant was just his typical Kobe Bryant self, 18, 3, and 3, and a destruction of your field goal percentage, 5 of 16 from the field. Not a good night from Kobe. And I've heard some people saying, I need to drop Kobe. Hopefully, if you draft a Kobe, you're aware that you're going to get bad field goal percentage. 18, 3, and 3 is still okay. So I don't think you're going out and dropping Kobe. You're not going to get that value through a stream. Yes, he's hurting you in field goal percentage, but you should have known this. You had to be aware of that. And if you weren't aware of that and you think, oh, it's just killing me too much, and you'd banked on field goal percentages being something you were going to win, then yes, I can see it. But I wouldn't be dropping him. You have to try and trade Kobe. There's too much name value there for him to just be dropped, because someone will pick him up pretty much straight away. Unless you're in a league of people who hate Kobe. And that could be possible, but I don't think you should be looking to drop him now, because he's still putting up, you know, value in certain areas, but you have to know how to use it. Not everyone necessarily knows how to use Kobe Bryant for his fantasy value. He's still averaging 16 points, 1.5 threes, 4 rebounds, 2.5 assists, a steal. These are all okay. But 32% from the field is clearly not okay on almost 16 attempts. That's not okay. But again, it's something you had to be able to deal with, and you had to be able to understand that you had to deal with that. On to the Nets, 23 and 10 for Brook Lopez in 39 minutes with 4 blocks. A really poor field goal percentage from him, but hit all 7 of his free throws. he's going to be a pretty good player this year, top 30 guy. Joe Johnson bounced back, and this is something that I was going to say foretold. I didn't want to sound like a soothsayer, but Joe Johnson's field goal percentage was going to come up. He was 22 here on 8 of 16 shooting, 3 rebounds, 2 assists, 2 steals, 1 block, 1 3. Now, I say all this coming one day after I dropped him in the Red Rock Listener League, but I dropped him because my team is built on a team that punts threes and it's got plenty of scoring, and I grabbed Jared Sullinger. But to me, he's still a guy that he doesn't have to be owned on your team in a 12-team league, but he shouldn't be floating around because that sort of poor shooting was unsustainable from Johnson. He's a decent assist guy for a shooting guard. He gets some rebounds. He can hit some threes. This might be his best performance of the year, and it is against the Lakers, so we have to factor that in. But Joe Johnson is not completely done. Jarrett Jack, abysmal, 8 of 22 shooting, but his counting stats were really juicy, so he was great in daily as well. 18, 7, and 12, a 3 and a steal. He has to be owned, and he's not owned everywhere. I don't understand why he has to be owned. He is not losing minutes to Shane Larkin. Donald Sloan is not taking his job. Jarrett Jack is a really bad player, but he's averaging 13 points, a 3, 4.5 rebounds, 7.5 assists. It has to be owned. Yes, his field goal percentage is poor, but he was projected to have a poor field goal percentage, so you're aware of that. I don't know why he's not owned in more places than what he currently is. Thad Young, this is the thing we're going to get from Thad, 14 and 5 with a steal and a block. And we saw a change in the starting lineup. We saw after Wayne Ellington started, we saw Markel Brown move into the starting lineup, and then he was out of the starting lineup. And in typical irritating fashion, why start a guy for 3 games, Markel Brown, and then he's not starting anymore, and then he doesn't play at all? So he's too shit to play at all, but he's okay to start. Makes no sense. Figure it out. Just figure it out, Lionel Hollins. Rondae Hollis-Jefferson moved into the starting lineup. He grabbed 11 rebounds, 5 points, 3 assists, and a steal. It's not intriguing enough for us to look at in 12-team leagues, but 14 or 16-team leagues definitely want to pay attention. There'll be some steals. There's going to be rough offense from him. He's not going to take many shots, but you get some rebounds. I think you'll get some steals and some blocks. So there's a little bit of appeal there, or at least if there's not appeal, there's intrigue, maybe is the better word for us to look at. All right, the next game up is the Philadelphia 76ers and the Cleveland Cavaliers. For the Sixers, Nerlens Noel, talked about him. Isaiah Cannon had his best game of the season, 17 points with 4 assists. He hit 3 threes as well, and he got hot in 21 minutes, and it limited TJ McConnell's time on the court a little bit. 25 minutes for McConnell, 8 points with a couple of threes, 4 assists and a steal. And this is, again, everybody was screaming at me, oh, I've got to add TJ McConnell. You've got to bump his stats. You've got to bump his projections on Basketball Monster. The guy's an undrafted rookie. Like, he's not good. He's not going to be a great NBA player. And people are like, oh no, how's Kendall Marshall any chance to steal his minutes? Tony Roden's not taking them. This is what's going to happen. Yes, McConnell was someone that we had to add, and I think we still hold him because of the assist numbers and the short-term value, but he's not good enough that he's playing 35 minutes every night and getting 10 assists and 8 rebounds. You know what? Otherwise, he would have been in the top 60 guys who were drafted. He wasn't. There are going to be bad nights. The Sixers do really like him, and there's no doubt about that. They liked what he's provided, but there's going to be some stinkers, and this is not a great night from TJ McConnell. Again, if you added him, you keep holding him, and I think you think if he's available in 12-team leagues, for the time being, if you've got a streaming spot, you add him and you see where it pans out. But he is not a 32-minute a night, 10 assists per night sort of guy. This is just, it is just not feasible for that to be the case. Nick Stauskas, now this is a guy that we're really interested in. 38 minutes for Stauskas, 14, 3 and 2, 2 threes and a steal. He'd like a few more of the peripheral numbers from Stauskas, but what I really like are the minutes he's getting. He can handle the ball. He's not just a shooter. He's not JJ Redick. He can shoot the ball, but he can do some other things too. He's averaging 14 points, 2.5 threes, 4.3 rebounds, 2.3 assists. So he's putting up some pretty decent numbers. He's a good free throw shooter. At this point, I can't think of why you wouldn't want to own Nick Stauskas in a standard league. Jeremy Grant went 8-4-2 with 2 blocks. Not too excited about him. And Jahlil Okafor went 18-6. Again, the rebounds just not there for Okafor. This is more like it with the free throws, 2 of 3. No steals, no blocks, but still a pretty serviceable night from the big rookie. On to the Cleveland Cavaliers. LeBron, 31, 4, and 13. 2 steals, 3 threes. That's a pretty decent F from him. He did have a bit of a sore leg at one point. I don't think that's anything too serious to be worried about. Mo Williams, 16 and 8 with 2 steals. He's going to have continual value until Kyrie comes back. The Cavs made a change to their starting lineup. They moved Jared Cunningham in. He played 20 minutes and did nothing. Richard Jefferson had 17 points with 3 threes and 2 assists in 29 bench minutes. So he's a pretty capable fill-in for J.R. Smith in terms of fantasy value. I don't think that season-long guys want to pay a huge amount of attention, but deeper guys, 14 and 16 team leagues, you want to have a look and see if you can add him there for, you know, the next few days. You might be able to get something out of him. Timofey Mozgov continues to play basically no minutes. 19 minutes for Mozgov, 13 and 6, no other stats. Yes, 13 and 6 is all right, and 6 of 7 shooting is really good, but the minutes are really worrisome. He's just not playing enough for us to make sure he's owned in 10-team leagues, and 12-team leagues, you might find a better option. Kevin Love, 12 and 14. Tristan Thompson had a cut on his eyelid and limited to 23 minutes, but still grabbed 11 rebounds, and that's Tristan Thompson. He's a rebound guy. He'll get a good field goal percentage. He'll get some blocks, and that's fine if that's what you want, but he's not a must-own guy. And Matthew Dellavedova had 11 points in 26 minutes and wasn't able to get that those bushel of assists that he'd been getting, just one assist in that game, but he's still a pretty interesting guy, at least while J.R. Smith is out of the lineup. The next game is the Washington Wizards and the Boston Celtics. Brad Beal, 24 points, 3 threes, 5 rebounds, 2 assists, 1 steal, 1 block on, again, ridiculous shooting. And this is something I'm going to touch on a little bit later. This shooting from Brad Beal is out of control. He's at 50% from the field. He can't be a 50% shooter from the field, can he? I'm still really, really doubtful. You might buy into it. He's shooting. He's at 25 points on the season, 3 threes, 4.6 rebounds, 1.8 assists, 1.2 steals. But it's that percentage where I go, is he really shooting 49.5%, 50% from the field? Is he really going to continue to do that? Maybe, but this feels like the ultimate sell high, sell high, sell high moment for Brad Beal. Marcin Gortat got it going again, 10 and 8 with 5 assists and 3 blocks. So all Marcin Gortat owners that were complaining about his poor start, that's a really nice one from him. Chris Humphries hit 3 threes for 9 points and 6 rebounds, which is great, but we don't own him any longer in standards. And John Wall, 13, 5 and 8, 3 steals and another 3 blocks. John Wall is just a blocking machine at the moment. Yes, the field goal percentage was bad. He was 6 of 17 from the field, which is not a great performance, but the numbers are still really good overall, and hopefully you're pretty happy with owning John Wall. He only played 28 minutes because they got blown out by the Boston Celtics. Otto Porter, 24 minutes, 9 points. I don't think he's going to break into the top 100 by the end of this season, but he's going to be that solid 100 to 130 ranked player. And the bench guys, there's nothing for us to really get too excited about here. Onto the Celtics. I've talked about Olynyk already. Jared Sullinger, 21 and 8 with 3 threes, 1 steal and 2 blocks. And again, this is why he is not an elite fantasy prospect, but he's a guy that when he gets minutes, we have to pay attention. And as I said, I think that he's a guy that you want to look at in 12-team leagues. He started the last couple of games. In 22 minutes so far, he's at 11.5 points, 7.5 rebounds, a 3. He's averaging a triple one. He's averaging actually a triple 1.2. 1.2 threes, 1.2 steals, 1.2 blocks. I think you have to own Jared Sullinger at this point because the numbers he's putting up, and he's in this role where he's getting decent minutes. Yes, he could be traded at some point, but for now, he is a guy who can accumulate fantasy stats really easily, and he's doing it currently, and it's great to see if for some reason you're a fan of Jared Sullinger. Jay Crowder, another 5 steals for Jay Crowder. He also recorded the Boston Celtics' first double-double of the season. 12 and 10. Then he exited the game with what looked like a serious injury at the end. It wasn't. It's just a bone bruise. He might miss a game or two. We don't know the prognosis there, but it's great that he's okay. At this point, I think that we have to look at owning Jay Crowder in pretty much every league. As much as I don't think he's a great player, he has taken a definite step forward this year. The steal level is unsustainable. He's averaging 3 steals a game. He's not going to continue to average that. He's not going to be a great scorer. He can hit a 3. He's a decent rebounder. He's going to be that player who's one of your probably worst 2 or 3 guys on your team, but he's going to be solidly in that range. Evan Turner had his best performance, 16 and 6, 3 steals, 2 assists, 2 threes. If he keeps that up, obviously you want to look at him in 12-team leagues, but it's not consistent enough at this point. Now, Isaiah Thomas started again in place of Marcus Smart, 16 points, 8 assists, and 2 steals, while Avery Bradley was a little quiet, 6 points, 2 assists, 2 steals, and 2 threes. Mentioned before, David Lee, he got 13 minutes. Please don't be holding on to David Lee anymore. That's done. Tyler Zeller, 5 minutes, 7 points, which is really efficient, but again, 5 minutes. Not much to see there. And Terry Rozier played 19 minutes in Marcus Smart's absence. The next game up to take a look at is the Milwaukee Bucks and the New York Knicks. The Bucks, They avenge their opening night loss. But the big story from Milwaukee is the return of John Henson. John Henson played 23 minutes. He had 22 points. He went 5 rebounds, 1 assist, 1 steal, 3 blocks. I was inundated with tweets today. Add John Henson? Do we add John Henson? Do we add John Henson? Look, he's not a 22-point-a-game scorer. This is not going to be realistic. 3 blocks a game, that is within reach. Remember the first game of the season, John Henson played 10 minutes. So Jason Kidd hates John Henson. I don't know why he hates him, but he does. So he's not going to get consistently big run. He only played 23 minutes here. He got red hot. And this is a game where out of the 4 leading scorers on the Bucks, actually 4 players on the Bucks reached double figures. Giannis Antetokounmpo, easy. Chris Middleton, fine. John Henson and Johnny O'Brien. So things were a little bit weird in terms of how the scoring went down in this game. Henson is not going to be this good of a scorer. He's definitely an addition for rebounds and blocks. You can look at him in that sort of situation, and you know, there's probably a place for him in 12-team leagues. But does Kidd go back and play him 10 minutes in the next game? It's a huge possibility. Kidd does not like what Henson provides in general. He did start to like him for some reason in the playoffs, and he was really, really good then. So maybe that first game, maybe it was his Achilles that bothered him in the first game. We didn't hear any reports that the Achilles came later on. But maybe that's what limited him to 10 minutes. If he's going to get 23 to 27 minutes a night, Henson, he's a guy that we need to look at in all formats. And now, if you want to take a risk on someone and you need the blocks upside, yeah, go and do it. Giannis Antetokounmpo, 20-7, 2 steals, 1 block. He's a freak. We know that. Chris Middleton, 13-5 in 38 minutes. A nice night from him. No Michael Carter-Williams again. So the Bucks, instead of starting Jared Bayless, they started Tyler Ennis. And he played 17 minutes, 4-4-3. Bayless played 28 minutes off the bench and went 5-2-4. So that sort of ruins Bayless's daily fantasy value. Tyler Ennis, we don't want anything to do with. Carter Williams should be back soon. So all in all, it's just a mess. Jabari Parker played 18 minutes. He had a nice dunk. He had 6 points. But I'm not adding Jabari Parker. He's probably not going to play in tomorrow's game because of the back-to-back. He's going to be limited. And even then, when he gets back to full health and 4 minutes, whenever that is, what is he? The 100th-ranked player? He's not a top 50 upside guy, in my opinion. On to the Knicks. Kristaps Porzingis. I tweeted out before that Porzingis is the MVP. Clearly, I was joking if anyone took that seriously. But he put down another huge putback dunk. He had 14-13, a 3, a block. I hope Knicks fans really, really enjoy this guy because I'm going to enjoy him for a very long time. He's putting up some very, very good numbers. And he just looks really comfortable out on the court. And he's a must-own guy in 12-team leagues, there's no doubt. Langston Galloway is pretty close to that. He played 32 minutes, 13-7 with 2 threes. A nice line from him. And again, why is Sasa Vujicic playing 27 minutes? Jose Calderon played 16 minutes. Both of these guys are done. They're finished. They shouldn't be getting any minutes at all. Jerian Grant needs to be unleashed. He was 8-2-3 in 23 minutes. Yes, Aaron Aflalo might be back for tomorrow or across the weekend. It appears unlikely. He'll likely come back next week. Let's just keep our fingers crossed that Derek Fisher doesn't take minutes away from Galloway and that the minutes move from Vujicic. That has to be the way that it runs. I'm 95% sure that's what will happen, but the other 5% is the Derek Fisher factor. We don't know what's going to happen there. Robin Lopez, 22 minutes, 12-2 when a block. This is last season Robin Lopez we're getting. He hasn't been great. I had someone tweet me, I think today, is he droppable? It depends. In a 10-team league, he's not a must-hold guy at all. In a 12-team league, I'd probably still want to hold on to him. But the Knicks have this bunch of big guys. Porzingis is obviously the best of them. Derek Williams played 20 minutes here. We know that Kylo Quinn's there, and he had 3 blocks in 17 minutes. I don't think you want to keep owning O'Quinn in 12-team leagues. Lopez is ahead of him. But Lopez, again, it depends on who you're going to add, but I don't think that he's a guy that you have to go, yeah, he's a lock. I have to hold on to him. Carmelo shot the ball poorly. He was 6 of 16 for 17 points with 4 rebounds and 6 assists, but still a pretty decent night from him, and not much else to talk about on the Knicks. The next game, the Atlanta Hawks and the New Orleans Pelicans. Kyle Korver with his best game of the season. He was 8 of 8 from the field, so obviously 4 of 4 from 3, 22 points, 7 rebounds, 5 assists, 3 steals, 1 block. He was real close to the monstrous line of the night. After a couple of really disappointing performances, a lot of people, what do I do with Korver? Do I move on from him? No, you don't. You're obviously a little bit worried. I didn't draft Korver because of the surgeries and because of the age, but there is no way that you want to drop Kyle Korver at this point. And if someone did, you're obviously going out and grabbing him, because this is what Kyle Korver can do sometimes. He's not going to be an 8 of 8 shooter. That's unrealistic. But he can be really efficient. He can contribute in other categories. And he's not completely washed up yet. Paul Millsap, 22-12 with 2 steals and a block. His good season continues. Al Horford struggled a little, 14-5, but still 4 assists, a steal, 2 blocks. He still took 3 3-pointers, didn't hit any of them, but if a couple of those go down, we're looking at a line of 16 points, 2 threes, and then the other numbers. Pretty decent from Al Horford. Kent Bazemore, 33 minutes, 10-5-4, 3 steals and a block. I think the 10 points, 5 rebounds, maybe 2 assists is more what we should expect from Bazemore moving forward. He's not an awesome player by any stretch. He's a relatively decent player, but he's not fantastic. I think you still have to own him in 12 team leagues because he's obviously getting a lot of minutes. He got 33 here. Thabo Sefolosha was out, so that impacted. You'd probably see him back at 28 if Thabo was playing. And Justin Holiday took the other 15 minutes. Still no sightings of Tim Hardaway in Atlanta, which is interesting for Tim Hardaway fans, if there are any of those that exist. Dennis Schroeder played 19 minutes off the bench, went 15-5 with 3 threes. He was really good shooting, and I love it when he starts, but you really just can't hold on to him in standard leagues, I don't think. Onto the Pelicans. We talked about Anthony Davis. Eric Gordon was awesome as well. 22 points, 3 threes, 2 rebounds, 2 assists, a steal, and a block. I've been a little bit bullish on Eric Gordon this season, and he's sort of paying me back at the moment, so that's good. Ish Smith played 34 minutes off the bench. His career high, 11 assists, 8 points, 4 rebounds, 2 steals. With the way that Gentry is running the rotations, we don't know what's going to happen with Smith and with Douglas. Tony Douglas played 8 minutes here. He played like 29 the game before, and Smith had played like 10. We don't know how he's going to run it. The best way to say that he's going to run it is confusingly. So that owning Ish Smith in a 12-team league is hard. Douglas, you don't want to deal with. Jrue Holiday played just 23 minutes, 4 points and 8 assists with a steal. Obviously, Holiday still needs to be owned, although he probably won't play tomorrow because it is Saturday. He won't play Saturday, most likely because it is a back-to-back, so pay attention to that. The Pelicans did change their starting lineup. They moved Alexei Ajinsa back to the bench, and he played 9 minutes. Dante Cunningham came in, and Davis played center. Cunningham's not someone we care about. Luke Babbitt is interesting, though. He played another 29 minutes in a start, 13 points with 4 rebounds. He hit a 3. Luke Babbitt's a guy that I don't think many people would be talking about, rightly so, but he's averaging 29 minutes a game in his three games. 8 points, a 3, 6 rebounds. It's not exciting, but a 14-team league, yeah, you have to own Luke Babbitt. A 16-team league, of course. A 12-team league, probably not. But if he's going to have a 29-minute-a-game role, he can go out there and hit you 1.5 threes, get 7 rebounds, maybe get a steal. There's a little bit there to look at, and he's not someone to completely dismiss as a complete spud because he can put up some pretty decent numbers. Next up, the Miami Heat and the Indiana Pacers. Chris Bosh, 21-11 with a 1-1, so a big night from him. Hassan Whiteside, 8-12 with 4 blocks, a little bit down on the field goal percentage for Whiteside, but still a big performance from him. And the best performance of Justice Winslow's career. He went 13-8 in 31 minutes. And that's okay. He's getting some pretty decent minutes with Gerald Green out. I still don't think that we need to look at him in standard leagues. He's just not going to rack up the stats like this on a regular basis. Dwayne Wade, a poor night from Wade. 4 of 15 shooting, 9 points. But 6 assists, a steal and a block still helps him a little bit along. Mario Chalmers returned from his knee problem for 2 points in 19 minutes. And he's a very, very limited fantasy option. And so is Luol Deng, who had 9 points in 26 minutes. And you know what? With the way things are going, I wouldn't be shocked if Deng loses the starting job to Winslow at some point in January or February. I probably think that the odds are more likely that Deng keeps it. But Deng is just, he's just what he is at the moment. He's just a very middling average player. It appears Goran Dragic is also that. 31 minutes, 11 points, 4 assists. He just hasn't been good so far. I could say buy low on him, but you'd have to buy pretty low because I don't think that he's a top 50 guy, and I've said this before, and he's definitely not playing like one at the moment. Paul George had a big night for the Pacers, 36-12, 2 threes, 3 assists, 3 steals, 1 block. Very, very efficient. This is his best game probably for the season. And George Hill at 12 points with 4 assists, and the key thing here for Hill is he played 40 minutes, so just pay attention to that. And you know, Rodney Stuckey lasted 10 minutes before leaving with an ankle injury. Joseph Young didn't get into the rotation, so Hill is just going to play a stack of minutes. Now, if Stuckey misses time, Ellis will play some point guard. Maybe Young gets back into the rotation, but it didn't appear like it in this game. Jordan Hill, 10-10. off the bench in 24 minutes. That's yuck. It more than the fact that we have to talk about Jordan Hill. Jan Mahimi went 6-6 in 25 minutes with 3 blocks, so he's obviously back and he's giving you what you want him to give you, blocks and rebounds. And Monte Ellis, a bit of a poor night from him, but still chipped in with 8 assists and a steal. Not much else happening from the Pacers' point of view. Lavoie Allen got the start with CJ Miles out. He went 4-5 with 2 assists. I would have hoped for a little bit more from Lavoie Allen. While CJ Miles is out, they're probably going to run Paul George more at the 3 and rotate Jordan Hill and Lavoie Allen in. I think that we'll probably see Hill back starting in the next game. I'd like them, if they want Paul George to play the 4, I'd like them to give Chase Buttinger a go in CJ Miles' spot. Now, Buttinger played 15 minutes here and wasn't great, but I think that he's someone who I would like to see play 30 minutes and see what he can do. Doesn't appear on the cards, but let's just wait and see how it all pans out. Detroit and Phoenix. Kentavious Caldwell-Pope had 18 points in 36 minutes. Pretty standard line for him. Not much else, apart from the fact that he went 8 of 10 from the field. That's not sustainable. Marcus Morris in the game against his brother went 20-6 with 2 threes and 2 steals in 39 minutes. The minutes for him appear locked in and real, so let's make sure he's owned everywhere. And Reggie Jackson went 23-6-7. Ersan Ilyasova just 21 minutes, 6-4. Andre Drummond, 12-17, so the rebound, he's still almost averaging 20 rebounds a game, which is crazy. 2 steals and a block, and an absolute abomination of a free throw performance, 2 of 13. But again, you know that, and hopefully you didn't draft him in a roto league, and you are punting free throws, because if you don't think you're punting free throws in your own Drummond, you're punting free throws. There's no other way around it. Stanley Johnson shouldn't be owned anywhere standard redraft leagues. For Phoenix, Brandon Knight, he's really good. 22, 2 and 3, 3 threes, 1 steal, 2 blocks. He's been great. So has Eric Bledsoe, 22, 2 and 4 with 3 steals. So both those guys are really meshing well after a really disastrous start to their career together last year. And disastrous a lot of it due to injury. But still, it's good to see them having some chemistry. PJ Tucker played 34 minutes. That's a season high for him. And grabbed 10 rebounds with a steal and a 3. And that's exactly why you would have owned PJ Tucker. Now, I'm not saying to go back and pick him up after this. But it puts a dampener on maybe TJ Warren's taking over. Warren played 16 minutes, 5 points, 3 rebounds. Not a huge amount else. I don't reckon we need to own either of these guys. Alex Len played just 9 minutes after a really good game in their last performance. Still grabbed 7 rebounds in that time. But obviously we don't want to own him. And Ronnie Price continues to get minutes. 12 minutes for Price, 6 points. That is disgusting. That needs to stop ASAP. The Houston Rockets and the Sacramento Kings. James Harden, 43 points, 4 threes, 6 rebounds, 13 assists, 2 steals. Yeah, he's pretty good. 13 of 16 from the line. He went 13 of 23 from the field. So just a huge night from Harden. Yes, he's awesome, clearly. Trevor Ariza, again, this always happens. I need to drop Trevor Ariza. You don't need to drop Trevor Ariza. You don't drop Trevor Ariza. 18 points, 4 threes, 8 rebounds, 2 steals. If you ever have it in your head at the start of a season after you draft Trevor Ariza, I need to drop him, you don't. This is what happens with Ariza. Clint Capella has got the start in place of Dwight Howard, 13-12 with 4 blocks. That's his best game of his career. He's put up really decent numbers this season. But when Howard plays, he's going to be limited. So he's a daily fantasy guy. He's a streaming guy. I don't know what the hell's going on with Marcus Thornton. 42 minutes for him, 16 points, 4 threes, 7 rebounds, 2 assists, 1 steal. Do they stick with him in the lineup when Terrence Jones comes back, when Donatus Montiunas comes back? It's hard to get rid of him. He's playing 35 minutes a night. He's at 17 points, 3.3 threes, 5 rebounds, 2 assists, and a steal a game. It's hard to get rid of him. I reckon you pretty much have to own him at this point. Again, it depends on who you're going to drop. But I feel like you have to look at Marcus Thornton and go, okay, the minutes are there. He's playing well. Maybe he sticks in this lineup. I don't know if that's going to be the case, but he's getting 40 minutes a night. He's putting up numbers. He's got value clearly for now. It's an interesting move that they made, and it's paying off because he's playing well. Ty Lawson, 41 minutes, 13-5-2 with 3 threes and 2 steals. A decent night from him. And the bench, there was just not much here. Sam Decker, KJ McDaniels got in the game for 10 seconds. Montrezl Harrell played 7 minutes. Corey Brewer with that thigh issue only played 17 minutes. And that was probably the reason that I didn't win the Moneyball tournaments today, is I put Corey Brewer in as my cheap price small forward. Hopefully he'd get 25 minutes. He only played 17, so he sort of hurt me there, and I ended up losing it by about 10 points, disappointingly. The Kings made another change to their starting lineup. They went this one with Rajon Rondo, James Anderson, Marco Ballinelli, Rudy Gay, and Costa Kufos. They're a mess. Omri Caspi played 33 minutes off the bench because, of course, he did. 22 points with 2 threes and 4 rebounds and 2 steals. Darren Collison played 31 minutes, went 22-9 with 2 steals and 3 threes for him. Rondo is limited to 24 minutes, 12-8-5 with 3 steals. So after a pretty good start to the season, Rondo has been disappointing lately. The minutes continually go to Collison over him. You still have to own both of those guys, but Rondo he basically didn't play the last quarter and a half of this game. Willie Cauley-Stein moved back to the bench and had a better game than he had previously, but still just 22 minutes for Cauley-Stein. 7 points, 9 rebounds, 2 steals, 2 blocks, and that's where he's going to have value, rebounds, steals, and blocks, but the role for him is just going to be so up and down and so limited that it is hard to own him, especially in 10-team leagues. And 12-team leagues, yes, there's a spot for him, but it really depends on the way your team's structured. Rudy Gay, 15-5. The starters, James Anderson, 18 minutes. Why is he starting? We don't really care too much unless we're a deeper league. Marco Ballinelli, 5 points in 23 minutes. He seems better suited to a bench role. We actually saw some life from Ben McLemore, 11-4-4 with 3 steals and a 3. You're going to need to see that for a little bit longer time frame from McLemore for me to rely upon it, but it was good to see him at least provide something in the minutes that he got. The next game, which was the last game on the slate, is the Denver Nuggets and the Golden State Warriors. Will Barton moved into the starting lineup, so he was alongside Emmanuel Mudiay, Gary Harris, Danilo Gallinari, and Kenneth Faried, who started at center. Barton went 19-8 with 2 threes, 2 steals, and a block. A really, really good performance from Will Barton. He had stretches of this last season. I still don't believe in him as a great player. But now for the season, he's averaging 13.5 points, 4.5 rebounds, a 3, 1.5 steals, 0.7 blocks. We sort of have to pay attention to him, and anything outside of 12-team leagues, you have to own him, and I'm okay with grabbing him in a 12-team league. Now, you probably think that when Nurkic and Lavernier and Chandler come back, he's going to have a limited role, but we don't know when this is happening. Lavernier is probably going to be the next one that comes back. But for now, Barton is putting up some decent numbers. Gary Harris was okay here, 16 points, 2 threes, a steal. Yeah, not too bad for him. Gallinari, 25 points with not much else. And Kenneth Faried played just 21 minutes, 8-11 with a block. Emmanuel Mudiay, 13-4-5, 4 steals, a block. Yeah, obliterated your field goal percentage, bad free throw percentage. We know all that. Still some nice counting stats. This team is not very good at all. The best thing I saw here is Will Barton getting minutes and JJ Hickson playing 7, so that's pretty exciting for us to see. And Darrell Arthur played just 12 minutes off the bench. The Golden State Warriors, another pretty easy obliteration from them. Steph Curry, 34-7-10, 3 steals, a block, 8 threes. He's out of control. Harrison Barnes, 31 minutes, 21 points, 2 threes, 5 rebounds. Some good performances from Barnes lately. 12-team leagues, you sort of want to have a look at him, but I'm not getting that excited. Draymond Green, 12-9-8, almost a triple-double. And Klay Thompson, 18.6 rebounds, 5 assists, and 4 threes. So getting back on track there. Festus Ezeli started in place of Andrew Bogut. He had some foul trouble, played just 18 minutes, but went 16-7, hit all 7 field goals, 2 blocks, a steal. He's been really good in place of Bogut. It's going to be hard to stop him from getting 16 to 17 minutes a night, even when Bogut is back. I don't think Bogut's in any risk of losing that starting job. But Ezeli's going to have 14 to 16 team league value even when Bogut comes back. Not a huge amount from the bench in this game. The starters clearly did all the damage. They were the only 5 guys to get into double figures. All right, that's it for the game reviews. Now, I think normally I have a break between the game reviews and the game previews, but because in this podcast I'm going to be doing a little bit of something in the middle talking about season-long leagues, let's have our little break now so I can grab some water. I saw ya. Thank you again to Bryce Whitney for providing us with that song. Now, what I wanted to do now is have a look at the rankings for the season so far. Head-to-head rankings, these are 8-cat head-to-head rankings. And what I wanted to do is go through and just, it's just interesting to see how these things pan out. So what we're going to do first is we're going to have a look at the top 20 players. based on head-to-head value for the start of the season. So we'll go through those now. At number one is Steph Curry. I think that's pretty obvious. At number two is Russell Westbrook. Damian Lillard comes in at three. James Harden at four. Kevin Durant at five. John Wall at six. Andre Drummond at seven, who's obviously been amazing. 18.5 and 19 with 1.8 steals and 1.8 blocks. Pretty good start from Drummond. Go back to John Wall. He's at 19 points, 8 assists. He's hitting over a 3 a game, 1.2, but he's at 2.6 steals and 2.4 blocks a game. Obviously, those numbers are going to come down, the blocks especially, but John Wall has been incredible to start the season. LeBron comes in at 8, averaging 24, 7, and 7. Pretty stock standard LeBron. Blake Griffin at number 9, averaging 28 and 9, so it's good to see. Well, his points have gone up, his rebounds have gone way up as well, still providing nothing defensively, 0.6 steals and 0.6 blocks, but that's to be expected. Kawhi Leonard comes in at 10th at 21 and 9. Anthony Davis at 11. Paul George comes in at 12. Isaiah Thomas from Boston comes in at 13. He's averaging 22 points, 1.5 threes, 7 assists, 2 steals a game at 91% free throw shooting, so he's at 13. Hassan Whiteside comes in at 14, 13.8 and 10.8 rebounds with 3.7 blocks. So we know where Whiteside's value is. It's also his 67% field goal shooting. Kyle Lowry's in at 15. DeAndre Jordan is in at 16. Andrew Bogut, a bit of an outlier there. He comes in at 17 based on per game value because he's played one game and he went 12, 5, and 5 with two blocks and 100% field goal percentage. So we can sort of count him out of that based on that one game. Ricky Rubio is next in line. He's at 15, 4, and 9 with 2 steals and shooting 44%, which is obviously really good for him, 92% from the free throw line. Jimmy Butler is at 19, averaging 21, 4.8, and 2.6 with 2.3 steals. And Giannis Antetokounmpo rounds out the top 20, going 21, 7.5, 2.2 assists. He's just away from a triple, 1.8 threes, 1.2 steals, and one block, shooting 58% from the field. Now, the 58% from the field is likely going to come down, so there's a little bit of a sell-high opportunity for Giannis, but not a huge one. Just outside the top 20, Beal, Bledsoe, Knight, Lopez, Oladipo. So that's the top 20. Now, what I want to look, the top 5 rookies for this season. Karl Anthony Towns is ranked 36th at the moment. TJ McConnell is ranked 60th. You heard my thoughts on McConnell earlier on. I still think we have to own him, but just be prepared for some ups and downs. Jahlil Okafor at 77. Kristaps Porzingis at 78 and Emmanuel Mudiay at 84. So we've got 5 rookies inside the top 100. That is almost definitely unsustainable. But for now, the rookie class has looked really good. In terms of the sophomores, we've got the top 5 of them. Nerlens Noel comes in at 33. Marcus Smart at 59. Jordan Clarkson at 62. Clint Capella at 75. And Nikola Mirotic at 81. Now I want to target a few sell high guys. Isaiah Thomas ranked at 13th. There's pretty much no way he ends up being the 13th ranked player. So if for some reason you can convince someone that he's going to be this good, do it. I don't see him averaging 7 assists a game and 22 points. His minutes might come down. I think they have to come down a little bit with Smart coming back. You might buy it, but if someone values him as the 13th ranked player for the season, then move on from him. Ricky Rubio at 18. I love Ricky Rubio, but if someone values him as a top 20 guy, I think you have to get something back there. Brad Beal at 21. I talked about him before. He's a 50% shooter from the field apparently this season after being a 40% shooter in the playoffs last year. That feels unsustainable. Dirk Nowitzki at number 40. I just don't... Look, he's been really good, but I don't know if he necessarily finishes the season there. And Marvin Williams at 50. For as good as he's been, he's not going to be the 50th ranked player for this season. So there are a couple of sell-high guys that I think you can look at. Buy low players. Danny Green is currently ranked 175th. I've mentioned him a million times. Same as Gordon Hayward, who's 173rd. Both of these guys will easily get back inside the top 100, and both should be get back inside the top 50. Marc Gasol at 142. Maybe there is a bit of a real drop-off for him this season, but he's definitely not that bad. So if someone is frustrated with these guys, and look, there's going to be teams who own both Hayward and Gasol, and those teams who own both Hayward and Gasol, that's where I think, or they might even own Danny Green. So if you're in a lucky situation where a team owns all three of them, that's where you throw a buy low offer at them. Now, you're not going to go, can I have Green, Hayward, and Gasol? But take one of them off their hands. They'll be like, I've got these three guys. I drafted them with my second, third, and fifth pick, and they're all shit. I can't do anything with them. Oh, it's all right. I'll take Hayward off your hands. Do you want who? I can't even think of someone. Do you want Marvin Williams for Danny Green? Yeah, take it. Do you want Do you want Dirk for Gordon Hayward? Take it. Look for these teams who have got a couple of guys underperforming because they're going to, or if they've got an underperforming guy and injured guy, they're holding on to Kyrie. They've got Robert Covington. They've got Terrence Jones. They've got Yusuf Nurkic. If they've got these guys on their bench plus guys underperforming, they're going to want to start to get something rolling. So you might even be able to get, oh, give me Hayward and throw in Terrence Jones and I'll give you Dirk. Oh, look, I'll get rid of two of these headaches off my team and I'll get a player who's playing well. That's the way you've got to approach this. Damari Carroll is currently ranked 138th. He's had some big games. He's had some poor games as well, though. So I don't know if people really think that he's 138th ranked player. They might, but he's someone you can have a look at. And Monte Ellis at 115. Yeah, I don't think he's going to be a great option, but I think he's going to be better than that sort of ranking. A couple of other things I wanted to mention. Players inside the top 50 who have got less than 50% ownership on Yahoo. Jared Sullinger at 58. This is not percent, this is ranking. Jared Sullinger ranked 58th, TJ McConnell at 60, Jeremy Lamb at 63. I've touched on him quite a few times. He's shooting the lights out. That is going to drop. He's not a must-own guy for me, but he might be a short-term ad. Marcus Thornton at 64, who I talked about. Manu Ginobili, who's consistently underrated. He's ranked 65th. I think he has a spot definitely in 14-team leagues and even 12-team leagues. CJ Miles at 70, Clint Capella at 75. I think that drops off with Howard starting to play more. Kent Bazemore at 76, John Henson at 83, Joffrey Lavernier at 86, and Festus Ezeli at 98. I think I talked about most of those guys already. All right, so that's my little talk about season-long leagues. I'll do that once a week and highlight all those same sort of areas and just seeing what sort of value we can get, I guess, in targeting buy low, sell highs, just, you know, some intrigue in terms of who's at what ranking at for that time frame. Because it can be, you know, sell highs and buy lows are really good to in that sort of area where if you look at what's happened the last 2 weeks, hey, is a guy really slumping? Are people being reactionary? Is a guy red hot and they think it's going to continue? That's the sort of area where I think that you do need to pay attention and where you can get value. All right, now let's move into the daily portion of the show. Hopefully we have as a successful day as what we had today. The Minnesota Timberwolves and the Chicago Bulls, there is a bit of a blowout factor here. The Bulls are favored by 9.5. We've got a total of 198.5. Kevin Martin is considered questionable with some personal matters that he's been dealing with. We don't know if he's going to play, and that can have an impact if he doesn't play. I think that what that does is if he doesn't play, that it puts more onto Shabazz Muhammad and probably more onto Zach LaVine as well, who might become some interesting guys. I think Nemanja Bjelica at 3,600 is not a bad daily fantasy play. He's averaging 17.7 points so far. If he gives you 20, then that's value at minimum salary. So he's a guy to pay attention to. Nikola Mirotic's price has dropped. He's coming off an absolute stinker against Oklahoma City. He's now priced at 5,900. I think that he can obviously be around that sort of area. It's more of a tournament risk because he has had a couple of quiet games in a row. And he's another guy that I'm going to put on that buy low list because he's ranked 81st at the moment. I still think that he's comfortably a top 50 player. So he's a guy that I'm targeting there. Karl Anthony Towns, a couple of quiet games for him. He's at 6,400. He's not a bad option as a daily fantasy guy for tomorrow. I don't think that he's a must play guy. Just with that form sort of rounding out now, he might be okay here going, like, no great big defenders going up against him. Gasol and Mirotic aren't going to really worry him. Hopefully he gets his offensive game back on track and yeah, he might be able to return value there. Pau Gasol at 7,600, I don't really love it. And the big name guys like Jimmy Butler at 81, yeah, no, I don't mind it. And it is hard to get a good shooting guard, although James Harden is playing. So for an extra, you know, $1,800, whatever it is, I'd definitely rather Harden in there. But Butler's been a good value guy. He's averaging 38.6 fantasy points. But at 8,000, you need him to do more than that. And that's where I'm just a little bit hesitant about using him. Derrick Rose was great against the Thunder. He's been poor in other games. But he's not a complete write-off. The price is $7,100. I'd like him, if he was down at $6,500, then he's a definite guy that I would look at. But for that price, not so much. Doug McDermott moved into the starting lineup the last game. He played 23 minutes, which is less than what he played the game before off the bench. And that's another point. I had someone on the Basketball Monster forums ask me if we could post starting lineups before the game. And starting lineups can be great, but they also could mean nothing. Because said McDermott played 30 minutes the game before off the bench. He moved into the starting lineup and he played 23 minutes. So it doesn't always, you know, mean, oh, you're starting, you're going to put up big numbers. Andrew Wiggins, 6,700. His price has come down, but he hasn't really provided anywhere near that value. I'm steering clear of him at that price point. And the guys I mentioned before, Levine is at 5,400. That feels too expensive, even if he does get that extra run. Shabazz Muhammad at 41, there's definitely upside for him there. He's got a high score this year of 23.7, which he had in the last game. He's worth a go in tournaments. I think that you can get some value out of him in a tournament setting. The Orlando Magic and the Philadelphia 76ers, the next game, we are going to have no Nikola Vucevic, so that means we're going to be running with Dwayne Dedman again, who's priced still at 3,700. He put up 21 points today. That's plenty for 3,700. He could go even bigger again against Philadelphia. He could have a really, really big game. So I like Dedman in both cash games and tournament lineups. TJ McConnell off a bit of a stinker, but still priced at 4,200. There's value for him. Much there is for his teammate Jahlil Okafor at 5,800 and Hollis Thompson at 3,800, who put up 28 in the last game, and just quietly he's averaging almost 19 fantasy points per game this season. He's at very low salary, so he's a nice, you want to put these big name guys in, you want to put James Harden in, you know, put Jimmy Butler in. You can put Thompson in at 3,800. He gives you 20 points, and you go, that's nice, that's beautiful. He gives you 24 points. He had a 26-point game this season. Remember, there is no Bob Cove, so they are going to want some shooting from Thompson. He doesn't need big minutes to put up them. The 22 points he put up in the last game was in 26 minutes. That's likely what he'll get. Nick Stauskas at $100 more is also a great option. I think that he's a guy that I'd probably prefer over Thompson. He's someone to definitely pay attention to. Nerlens Noel at 7,500. Yeah, I don't mind it. I reckon there's probably better value guys, but he's still a pretty decent guy at that price. And Victor Oladipo at 8,000. That's too expensive for me to get him there. Tobias Harris at 67. Don't trust Scott Skiles enough to spend that money, because Harris can be good, but he's not reliable enough at this point. Aaron Gordon at 4,100. We just don't know what we're going to get with him at this point. So in tournaments, yes, but cash games, no, thank you. And as I mentioned before, Dwayne Dedman is the biggest beneficiary of the Nikola Vucevic injury, not Aaron Gordon. The next game is the Washington Wizards and the Atlanta Hawks. Mike Muscala is questionable. We don't care. And Thabo Sefolosha, he should be back. But again, that doesn't have too much of an impact. It maybe drops Kent Bazemore a little bit. I don't think there's a ton of daily fantasy value in this game. Dennis Schroeder at 4,600, maybe. Again, he can, like, seasonal leagues, if he gets bench roll, he's not necessarily that valuable. In a daily league at 4,600, yeah, there's a little bit there. Apart from that, the other big name guys, Jeff Teague, yeah, at 7,400, it's probably a little bit expensive. Marcin Gortat at 6,000, I don't mind that. I reckon I'd be okay playing him at that price. Paul Millsap at 79 has been really consistent and really solid. But the problem is at 7,900, you want him to get you 40 points. His highest score this season is 40 points. So you're expecting a best case scenario from him. And that's not always the best way to look at it. And same with Al Horford, who's at 7,700. You want him around that 39-point to 40-point mark. His best for the season is 40 as well. So yes, they're solid, but and they're consistent, but the salary is too high to deal with that, I think. John Wall at 9,500. He's averaging 41 points per game this year. It's not bad, but at 9,500, you want him to be 47 or so. Yeah, he can get there, and it depends how else you round your lineup out, but he's not the best play. And Bradley Beal at 7,400. Yeah, I don't mind Beal at this price in this matchup. He's been red hot. It is going to cool off at some point. Does it cool off here? I don't know. I guess a bit of it depends on if Thabo's playing, because if Thabo goes out and guards him, maybe that helps or hurts Beal. It's definitely not a matchup that I love. He's not at a salary that I love. That's the best way of putting it. The Hawks are favored by 3 in this one. We've got there's a big total. It's 203 points. The next game is the San Antonio Spurs and the Charlotte Hornets. There's a blowout potential here. The Spurs are favored by 10, a low total of 193.5. That doesn't scream great daily fantasy value, but Danny Green is still priced at 4,200. You'd think that you're going to get a decent game from Danny Green at some point to beat that sort of number. Tournaments, I think you still want to run with him. Kawhi Leonard at 82, his price seems to go up $100 pretty much every day. We know he's been putting up pretty consistent numbers, and he's looked really good this season. He's an okay option. There's not much else here that I really love. Marvin Williams at over 5,000 now against the Spurs. I don't think I'm doing that. Definitely not putting 8,400 on LaMarcus Aldridge. Al Jefferson, who was awesome in the last game out, 7,500 for him. I don't think he's as good as what he was in that last game, so I think I'd leave that one alone. Nick Batum at 6,600. Yeah, it's okay. It's not the greatest matchup for him, though, going against Kawhi Leonard. I don't think that's going to really work out too well for anyone. And Jeremy Lamb, do you expect him to shoot 9 of 10 or 68% or whatever he's shooting for the last couple of games? I don't. So 4,300, I don't think I want much to do with him. In fact, for majority of this game, I don't really want a huge amount to do with it. Blowout factor, low total. The Spurs defense, it's not a great situation in my mind. The Brooklyn Nets and the Milwaukee Bucks up next. Jason Kidd bowl. Number two, the Bucks are favored by 5.5, a total of 195. There's a lot to look out for here. We probably won't see Jabari Parker. Michael Carter Williams is questionable with his ankle, and OJ Mayo is questionable with his hamstring. So that's going to change a lot of the value around depending on who plays. John Henson at 4,400. We saw what a great game he had. He's worth a look at that sort of price tag. He doesn't need to have the 36-point night that he had tonight. Even if he gets you 22 points, that's enough at 4,400. So he's definitely someone to look at. Thad Young's been really consistent, getting you that 26 points and at 5,600. That's okay. That's a nice cash game play. And Jarrett Jack also at 6,100, I think, has pretty good value. Same as Giannis at 7,000. He torched the Nets the last time they played. I think that he can put up pretty good value at that. Now, his average for the season is 35, which is right on where you need to be at 7,000. He could easily go for 40 here. So he's someone to pay attention to as well. Brook Lopez at 7,900. I don't think I want much to do with him, nor do I want much to do with Greg Monroe, who had a real stinker in the last game. He was limited to just 23 minutes and just under 20 fantasy points. 8,300 is too expensive. If Carter Williams plays, he's an okay option. I don't really love him, but he's solid. If he sits, then you can, in a tournament, you can put Tyler Ennis in there. You can put Jared Bayless in there, but in cash games, I think you want to avoid both of those players. The next game up, the New Orleans Pelicans and the Dallas Mavericks. The Mavericks are favored by 5. We've got a huge total here, 207.5 points. Jrue Holiday is unlikely to play for the Pelicans, being it's a back-to-back. Omer Asik is questionable with his calf issue. I don't think we want to deal too much with Omer Asik, even though his projections come out looking really nice for this game, if he plays and if he was to get 28 minutes. I don't think he's getting anywhere near 28 minutes for this game. So I don't think we need to really concern ourselves too much with Omer Asik. Anthony Davis at 10,600. I think you pretty much have to play him in this matchup against Dallas with no real center coming off a big game. That's pretty good value for Davis. I think that he can easily exceed that. He can get you 50, 55 points and be pretty comfortable with that. Zaza Pachulia on the other scale of things, 5,300. I really like him as a low-priced option at center. Ray Felton, a tournament guy maybe. He's struggled a little bit lately, but Chandler Parsons still not really doing a huge amount. Maybe Felton goes out there and puts up 20 fantasy points, maybe, in a tournament. Have a look at it. Yeah, it's not all that thrilling. Eric Gordon is priced at 5,300. I think he's an okay guy to look at that price point. And Darren Williams at 6,700 is someone who has marginal intrigue. Dwight Powell also has marginal intrigue in a tournament. He's at 4,500. He got over 30 in the last game. He's been putting up some pretty decent numbers. He's averaging almost 25 on the season. And at 4,500, you can't go wrong putting him into a tournament. He could really sort of help to get you over the line. If he goes out there and puts up 25 or 30 points at that price point, it's a big start to getting a big result. Memphis and Utah. It's a pick'em at the moment. It's a massively low total, 179.5. It doesn't scream fantasy value at all, except Gordon Hayward, who's down at 6,600. I think that at 6,600, yes, he hasn't been good this year. He did put up 30 in the last game. His usage is still at 25, so he's still using the ball. He just hasn't been shooting it well. I think that at 6,600, you can use him in tournament options. Rodney Hood has dropped off a little bit as well. At 4,400, he's an okay guy to look at. And Derek Favors has had his price reduced by 3,000, but that's due to illness. We don't know if he's going to play, so I'd probably avoid him here. But just keep an eye on that salary for Favors. I'm sure we'll talk about it the next time we play, that his salary's come down. And when he does get back in at full health, we'll be able to get some value from him. I don't really like anyone else here. I don't want anything to do with Rudy Gobert, Zach Randolph, Marc Gasol, Mike Conley. This is just a... With the exception of that Hayward pick, there's not a lot to love from a fantasy point of view from that matchup. The Golden State Warriors and the Sacramento Kings, there's blowout alert here. The Warriors are favored by 13. We've got a 218 over-under, and surprisingly, it's the second highest total on the board for today. Andrew Bogut is probably not going to play, so he is questionable to play. That means that Festus Ezeli comes into play again as an option. He's at just 3,800. I think we'd want to look at him in most sort of situations. For the Warriors, Klay Thompson at 6,800 is not bad. I think he's got value. And Steph Curry, obviously, at 10,900. Yes, there is blowout potential, but they had a blowout today as well, and he still put up 61 points. At almost 11,000, it's hard to steer clear. It's hard to add him at 11,000, but we know the output can be there. I reckon you can probably build a team without Curry in it, but it is really hard to do it, and you have to add some of those, obviously, cheaper guys in. Speaking of cheaper guys, Omri Caspi at 3,900 had a big game in the last game. I think he's a real guy to look at. Again, with no DeMarcus Cousins, he should get some pretty decent run. 3,900 for him is a nice price. 55 for Darren Collison. Yeah, I think that's probably right on where he needs to be. Yes, he was really good against Houston. This is a high total game, so he might be able to put up some pretty decent numbers. So let's use him as a guy to have a look at. And Harrison Barnes has been playing well lately as well, and he's only at 5,000, so he's not a bad guy to get into a lineup. The last game of the night is the Houston Rockets and the Los Angeles Clippers. This is a playoff rematch. The Clippers are favored by 8, which seems really high. The total is 218.5, which is massive as well. A couple of injuries to pay attention to. All these guys should play, though. Chris Paul is probable with a strained groin. Blake Griffin is probable after banging his knee. And Dwight Howard is probable after sitting out the first game of a back-to-back. You think all those guys are going to play. Marcus Thornton still remains probably the best value play on the board at 4,100. Corey Brewer at 4,100, assuming he's healthy, he's a guy to potentially pay attention to. But there is some decent high-priced guys here too. Blake Griffin at 10,000, I think is really good here. James Harden at 9,800 is an awesome play. And DeAndre Jordan at 8,000 is also a pretty solid guy. I don't want Chris Paul at 9,400. I don't want Ty Lawson. Trevor Ariza. Yeah, look, the Clippers do tend to yield some sort of results to small forwards. So at 5,800, I think he is worth a look. And Dwight Howard at 8,300 is not something I'm all that intrigued with. All right, that's it. The games are done. Let's now bring up my top three picks at each position for tomorrow's games. At point guard, TJ McConnell, 4,200. He's the cheap option. Jarrett Jack as a mid-priced guy, 6,100. Steph Curry as the expensive guy at 10,900. For shooting guards, Danny Green at 4,200, Klay Thompson at 6,800, and James Harden at 9,800. At small forward, we go Hollis Thompson at 38, Gordon Hayward at 6,600, and Kawhi Leonard at 8,200. Power forwards, John Henson at 4,400, Thaddeus Young at 56, and Anthony Davis at 10,600. And the centers, Dwayne Dedmon, 3,700, Jahlil Okafor at 5,800, and rounding it out with DeAndre Jordan at $8,000. That's it for today's podcast, guys. Thank you for listening. Don't forget to follow me on Twitter at redrock_bball. Check things out at basketballmonster.com, hardwoodparoxysm.com, and of course, moneyball.com.au. Leave a review. Become a sponsor. Become a sponsor of the podcast for the day, just like Around the Fur. Leave me a funny review. Leave me anything review. Just give it 5 stars and help the podcast grow. And it's been fantastic to everyone who has done that. So thank you very much once again. Thank you so much for listening, everyone. See ya.